There's only so many different ways I can record at once. Anyway, once again, one last time, anyone with any closing comments before we move on to the next segment? Yes, John?
Just to help with whatever the issue is, I would describe it not as an overdrawn thing. It sounds more like a slight garble. And that may not make sense to the parts of where you're getting, I don't know, translated typing back in somewhere in that chain. So everyone there is hearing fine. We're only hearing it on the length or shin coding or the level they have. Anyway, just my two cents. So we're trying to figure it out. And I'm glad to hear you guys tonight.
Likewise, good to hear from you, John. Yeah, the digital works in mysterious ways. We've kind of chatted about digital voice modes. Some people love them, some people hate them. Eric, KU2EJ, who had partial hearing loss, there were some types of digital voice mode that annoyed the heck out of him, and others that he could tolerate better. I'm sure everyone has had an opportunity to hear a very bad cell tower connection where the audio was garbage. So I don't know. It could be any kind of thing. You know, we're kind of merging all kinds of technologies together, both Echolink and IRLP and All-Star and radios and all kinds of fun stuff. So, again, for anyone out there who finds the audio annoying, I'm terribly sorry. Like I said, I'll try and contact Lou and see if he has any opinion about any of this, whether something can be tweaked. So we'll see how it works. But I thank you, John, for your input. Well, it's already 10:14, which is very close to 10:15. So yes, we're done with this portion of the net. I, as always, appreciate everyone's participation. Hope that you'll turn for this next Sunday at 8 p.m. But now it is time for full WS2N with the SpaceNet Report.
Very good, Roy. AC2GS, WS2N for the SpaceNet Report for the TechNet. And, yeah, and by the way, your audio, as far as I'm concerned, is superb tonight. So, coming out of the Selden repeater. Okay, I know there was a station I wanted to talk about something to do with the moon, but let me just stand by one second and just give you a report of what's happening tonight. Right now this is going to be a launch to the International Space Station with a crew of four people. So I have that listening that right now in the background. I have one computer watching NASA.gov. You also get the same reception if you go to SpaceX, spacex.com as well. And you have four people. You have a Dr. Michael Barrett with a call letter, KD5MIJ, and he'll be the pilot on this Falcon 9 mission, as well as Matthew Dominic. He's going to be the commander, KC0TOR, and you have another person, Jeanette Epps. She's going to be the mission specialist, also call letter KF5QNU, and with the Russian, Alexander Greg Benningen. He has no call as far as I know. When they get up there and they do operate, they have permission on the Russian side to use the Russian call for the space station. Let me drop it. Mission has been delayed for 2 days due to different weather problems. One was actually weather at the pad, and another time out at sea. They always have to have good seas out in the Atlantic, because if there isn't a port, they come down at, a couple miles maybe away or 100 miles away, and they need to be safe in the ocean. So that was a delay. So this is the third try, and right now the weather, everything looks good, and it'll be going up very shortly at 10:53. So not too long from now, according to my screen here, it's 37 minutes. So we'll be looking forward to that successful flight. It's the eighth flight to the International Space Station for NASA. There's been a couple of other flights for independent companies, but the eighth one. Each time they go up, the first one that they sent with the crew had two people. That was a test flight. And right now we're up to eight. So we'll see how they do. One person, Jeanette Epps, she was supposed to go up in 2018, and they canceled her for some odd reason, and nobody ever said why. I'm glad they reinstated that into a future mission. She was supposed to originally go up on a Soyuz spacecraft by herself with the one. The only American on that flight. It would have been two Russians. Then that was delayed. They said they were canceling you. They sent up a different woman in her place, which I thought was odd. And then she trained to go up on Starliner. Starliner is being built by Boeing. And that never happened because they have all kinds of problems with the Starliner. But actually, Starliner will be going up finally this April. They've been here for many years. But anyway, she got the ride on this flight on the Falcon 9, launching out of Launch Complex 39A, the same one that the Apollo missions used to launch out of, and also the shuttle missions as well. Let me drop it for any comments, questions. This is WS Square.
This is Kilo Echo 2 Alpha Juliet Uniform. Good night, good evening. I'm Charlie, and I'm looking at the, I'm on the website for SpaceX myself, and can you broadcast some of the launch?
Well, you know, I have it on now, but, don't have a direct feed into my mic. I'd have to do it with audio. But yeah, you're better off if, you know, putting it on if you can get it on your computer. But you know, right now they're talking about the launch. It always comes on about an hour or so before the actual launch. But the topic's Charlie, so I'm not gonna be able to retransmit the audio. You know, we used to have a repeater here on Long Island, 145.430, and it was great. Any launches, any, you know, important space missions, they actually used to retransmit it on that frequency. That was by the Lockfield Amateur Radio Club. That was really cool. And it was interesting. They had an ID. And the ID was, when that would come on, was actually one of the astronauts from years ago. It was his voice. That was pretty good. Anyway, were you the fellow that had a question about something about the moon, or was that somebody else, Charlie, back to you?
Was going to ask about the moon, yes.
Oh, okay, sure. Now's the time. Very good. Back to you, Charlie.
Over that landed last week. Is there any way to straighten it, stand it up, or, you know, do something with it now?
Well, yeah, it landed. The legs, a couple legs are kind of bent and collapsed because it came in with some forward motion, about 2 miles per hour. And then it, you know, it actually landed upright. And because of that forward motion, it just kind of creeped over and tilted over. And they think it's, they actually know it's on a 30 degree, you know, pitching up 30 degrees. So it's not laying completely horizontal like they thought. So all six NASA payloads that were on board, they've got all the data back on those six payloads that they were hoping for anyway, so that's a success. Some of the pictures that they wanted to get did not materialize. They had four cameras on the landing legs that were going to take pictures of the regolith as the engine hit, you know, as it came down, but that was not working. due to some other reasons. But they know that all the instruments that they sent up send data back to NASA, said they're very happy with the with that, and they can't push it back up again. In fact, they've already gone into lunar night as far as this thing is concerned. You know, lunar night is 14 days. It's already sort of low enough at that point where it's not recharging the batteries. So what they did is when they got to that point, they shut everything down, and they're going to try to keep as much battery power in the unit, during the 14 days. They think there's an outside chance that after the lunar night, that they might be able to make contact again with the intuitive machine that's was made by, they call it the Nova C lander, and they gave it the name Odysseus, and stood around 12 feet high and about 5-6 feet roughly in diameter, and that was not just a sphere, it was a cylinder that six different sides. So kind of successful. They plan on doing another one by the same company at the end of the year, and I'm sure this one will make it. They had some issues with the there was one step that they didn't accomplish before they took off. They were supposed to re-energize the laser. They have these laser system on board which detect not only distance, but also a Doppler effect for a speed. And that was inactive, but it so happened NASA also had a similar system on board, and they were able to put a software patch in, connecting one to the other, and they used NASA's system, and that's how it was able to land. Pretty successful, though. I mean, everybody, the company's happy, NASA's happy. And they have another contract, of course, with NASA, with a bigger, more complicated system. On the new one, they have a drill that's going to drill into the ground and all, and we'll see how that works out. A couple of other flights planned for this year by other companies as well. One by Firefly, it's called Blue Ghost, and that'll be toward the end of the year. And then another one by the same company that flew the Peregrine spacecraft, and that's called Astrobiotic. That's the name of that company. They come out of Pittsburgh, and that was the flight that was supposed to land on the moon, and they had a helium tank, and it overpressurized the fuel tanks and created a leak there, and they wanted to lose the fuel, and they decided to just let it go a couple of big long orbits and let it burn up in the atmosphere. But that company's got another contract as well for the end of the year, so I'm counting at least three more tries this year to land on the moon for the United States. Let me drop it. This is WS-20. So that's what I know about it. And no, they can't stand it back up. Antenna was kind of like facing the ground. It had two antennas, one on one side, one on the other, and the antennas were not really going in the right direction toward Earth. So it was very weak signal. They couldn't even use the directional antenna, so they just had to use the omnidirectional S-band. They have four antennas on that, but the omnidirectional, not very powerful because they're not directing the signal. But they were able to pick it up, some of the antennas that they had on Earth. But then they had a deal with this antenna in Australia. It's a big antenna. It's called a Parkes, Parkes antenna, 64 meter in diameter, roughly 200, almost 210 feet diameter. I'm sure it's that was able to pick up these weak S-band signals because the antenna is so big. They were able to record the data, and they were able to successfully get all the information back that they really wanted to. So if it comes back to life 2 weeks from now, that'll be gravy for the company and for NASA as well. I watched the news conference, and the one guy even said person from NASA. By the way, if we this comes back, you're gonna still be with us, aren't you? And they, she said, oh, absolutely, positively. Very good. Back to you, Charlie. This is WS2N. Name here is Paul.
The space that they're shooting up in a few minutes. What's that mission?
Yeah, that's the four people are heading to the International Space Station. Right now there's seven people on board the space station. There's two crew vehicles attached to the space station, one from the Russians, which carry three people up, and there's another Dragon spacecraft, SpaceX, attached to the space station as well. So that carries up four people. So now you have seven people. Now you're sending up four more. And then once they're on board for about usually about a week to 10 days, they'll send the other four back. They've been up there almost 6 months. They go up for 6 month rotations, Charlie.
6 months is a long time up there.
Oh yeah, and that's what they do. Well, you know, almost 6 months usually, just short of that. There have been some of the astronauts and the cosmonauts that have spent a year, you know, solid, almost a year, and then one guy just recently did go over a year, a fellow named Rubio. But, yeah, and they've got it. Scott, who was it, a fellow named Scott Kelly, spent a year. Almost a year on the space station. His twin brother, also an astronaut, he's the one that was married to Gabby Gifford, the lady that got shot in Arizona. She's a politician and a long time to recover. But the brother, who again he's an astronaut, Mike Kelly, eventually became a senator in Arizona. So they're quite famous. So that was an interesting study because they had identical twins and one guy on the ground. So he did everything that the guy in space is doing, and then at the end of the year they were able to compare medically to see any kind of changes, drastic changes or anything. So that was interesting. Had a book. He put a book out. That was not happy somewhere. Back to you, Charlie.
As far as the medical, okay, between the guy staying up in space for a whole year, does that take a toll on his body? Does it weaken it to some degree?
Yeah, it does, and that's why they have the exercise equipment up there, and they try to compensate for all of that. You know, no gravity, you wind up with muscle problems, bone problems. Also, they get higher doses of radiation over time, too. So radiation is cumulative over a lifetime. So they have to watch for that. And that's about it. So that's what they're doing. Let me just go on to one other thing with the... Because we're talking about the space station, Charlie. Stand by.
Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, there is a leak on the International Space Station. And when I say a leak, I mean an air leak. They've known about this for a couple of years now. And they've been losing a little bit of air. And they know how much air they can detect exactly how much they're losing every day. And now recently that has increased. It's double the amount that it's been like that for a couple of years. They're up to, I wrote it down, it was 0.9 kilograms. And if you do the math, it's roughly about 2 pounds of air per day that they're now losing. They were losing half of that. So naturally the leak has increased. Now where the leak is located, it's in one of the Russian segments. You know, on a space station, there's like 15 or 16 different modules. Space-wise, it's like living in a house with, you know, five bedrooms. It's a big facility, and one of the modules is called the Zesder module. It's like the third module that was ever sent up back in 2000, and that's the main big module for the Russians. We have a whole series of them, you know, and that's one of the ones that also has a docking facility for the Russian spacecraft. Russians can either dock a cargo vehicle or a Soyuz crew vehicle to these docking ports. And there's one docking port. You know, they have four docking ports on the Russian side. We have four on the American side as well. Drop it. So this brings them down to three, because in certain situations, for instance, they won't dock a crew vehicle to that one anymore. They'll just dock a cargo vehicle. The reason for it, when you dock a vehicle to any one of these modules, you know, you have doors on both sides. You have doors on the spaceship side, and you have doors on the module side, you know, the space station itself. And in between, you have something called a vestibule. So you imagine this big flange completely all, you know, it's over a meter in there, all the way around. And you have the door, actually the door itself is a meter, so the outer circumference is naturally a little bit bigger than a meter in diameter. But it's got a, you know, special gasket and all in there. And when the two vehicles are docked together, that is the location where this leak is. So they can actually stop the leak 100% by not having a spacecraft attached to it, or having a spacecraft attached to it and just making sure all the doors are closed. And then, you know, you won't get any air leaking into that vestibule area. Now, the reason I can't attach a crew vehicle there anymore, just cargo vehicle, let me drop it. Well, you know, when you're docking, let's say, a crew vehicle, you open up the doors, take everything out, sure, this thing is leaking a little bit in the vestibule area between the spacecraft and the module. You'd unload everything from the spacecraft, and then you can close the doors, and you're good to go. Crew vehicle, they need to be able to get in there quick. They tend to leave the inside door open in case there is an emergency on board the space station. You know, they've got to get into the Soyuz spacecraft quick and leave. And they don't want to fool around with a possible leak in between. So, no problem, because they still have other docking ports. So that's the story with that. They said they're not worried about it, but they will keep an eye on it in case it gets worse. So that's the story. Any comments? WS2N.
Well, it was a 15-minute update, and right now everything is on time.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, like I said, 10:53, 7 minutes before 11, we'll have a launch. And it's an interesting procedure that they have. The rocket goes up. It's got 9 engines on the booster, 9 Merlin engines. They produce 1.7 million pounds of thrust. It takes roughly 6 minutes or so, around 2.5 minutes before the main booster shuts off, separates the second stage. Second stage continues on with the Dragon spacecraft and the trunk, they call it the trunk, which is equivalent to like the service module to the spacecraft. That continues on. But the booster returns, and in this case, it's going to return back to landing zone 1. So they'll do a boost back. The big booster will have nitrogen jets on it, which will flip the booster 180 degrees. It'll reignite 3 engines instead of the 9 engines. 3 engines to push itself back in the direction of Florida. And then nitrogen engines will fire again, bringing it the rear end down first, the engine end first down through the atmosphere. They'll fire the engines, three more engines again to slow it down from coming through the atmosphere. And then as it comes down very close to the landing pad, the center, just the center engine will come on, and the gimbal is able to keep it upright, and then four legs immediately open, and that's how they land. That's the procedure. Meanwhile, the second stage and the spacecraft before continue on with the 200,000-pound thrust, single engine on that second stage, for about another 8 minutes or so, 10 minutes, and until they're in orbit. And then that second stage separates, then they fire that second stage again to burn it up in the atmosphere, and the spacecraft continues on for another roughly 24 hours, I think, or so, a little over that, until they dock with the International Space Station. So we're looking forward to that. Any comments by anybody? Love you, Antoine.
Countdown now is 13 minutes, 10 seconds.
Understood. Let me just leave a couple of seconds. See if anybody's on Echo Link.
Yes, WB2BX
show
here.
WB2BX, go ahead, Frank.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we watched Rob last night, and I have too many things going on at the same time to put it on now. Anyway, I missed the start of your talk. Did you talk our ship? I guess there is some news about that, Dad.
Not yet, Frank. I know they're pushing to get that third vehicle up. In fact, they made an announcement earlier on this broadcast. They say they're going to have a very active year with Starship. I hope so. What did you hear, Frank? Back to you.
Something crossed my screen about an hour ago. Probably from a reliable source, but I didn't really get a chance to double check. That apparently the new launch date is March 14th. They're supposed to be doing WDR, a wet dress rehearsal this evening. So if WDR went well, I guess that's plausible there.
Really? I think they've had like three WDRs out of 10, and they keep canceling them and bringing a booster back and all. So, yeah, so you said that they had a successful one. Is that what you said? By the way, WDR is wet dress rehearsal. All they do is fill up the tanks and make sure everything, the pressure's hold and everything. And then usually with this company anyway, they'll do ignite the engine, for a few seconds. But I guess that's probably still what they're going to do. And then if that's okay, then, soon after that, then they'll actually launch this thing into space. Back to you, Frank.
Yeah, I haven't looked at the video. I just briefly saw the headline while I was come up on the screen while I was on here. And sometimes these two headlines are kind of deceptive because they're designed to feed the YouTube algorithm, not necessarily typically factual like the newspaper headlines. But in any case, that's what I saw come across was on March 14th. And I also saw that they were doing WDR this evening, but I would assume if that March 14th date is real and it's not either something somebody made up or going to be retracted, then WDR was probably successful. Now, the way I understand SpaceX has been doing it, if I remember correctly, is they go to, just before launch, they don't actually do a static fire as part of a wet dress. They do the static fire separately. I think they've done the 33 engine static fire already, but somebody who watches it more closely may be able to correct me on that there.
I don't know if they, I haven't heard if they've done the static fire, but yeah, that's what they usually do. We'll see. I'll be looking forward to seeing that thing get off the ground again. Starship, they've launched this thing twice so far, two different vehicles, and each one has They've tried to get into, well, not a complete orbit. They want to go all the way around to Hawaii and then have it ditch into the Pacific Ocean. But they can't get it that far. They can't get it past the Gulf of Mexico, I guess. So we'll have to see. Hopefully it works out. They need the Starship. Well, NASA needs it because that's part of the lunar landing program. There's two companies involved with that. SpaceX has one contract to actually land people from lunar orbit to the moon and back up to lunar orbit. And it's up to the job of Orion and the Space Launch System to bring the crew to the moon and back from the moon. And you also have now Jeff Bezos, the Blue Origin, involved with a lunar lander as well. He's developing it. And who knows, if these starships keep warming up, maybe Blue Origins, they call it, Blue Moon is the name of the lander that would land on the moon. Maybe that'll be the first one. Who knows? You never know. Hope something happens. NASA's pouring a lot of work and money into Space Launch System and Orion has some issues they're working on, but I think that'll be ready. The first crew to be launched to the moon will be in September. Anyway, we'll see what happens. Let me drop it.
No, I think that's been pushed to 2026. Just a few minutes to get a story on that this evening.
Okay, Frank, very good. There was another launch, I think this weekend, and I don't know if that went up yet, from California, another SpaceX launch. And they have a whole bunch of satellites that are going to be released at one time from different colleges, different groups around, that sign up with SpaceX to put these things in space. And two of them are going to be amateur radio satellites from Mongolia, of all places. And I don't have the frequencies yet. I'm sure, I usually listen to Newsline, amateur radio Newsline, tomorrow night, and they are, I wouldn't be surprised if they announced that. Anyway, we'll see how they do. I'm not even sure if they're repeaters or what they are. They could be just transmitters, for all I know. They call them two amateur radio satellites. We'll see. From Mongolia. Another SpaceX launch on a Falcon 9 rocket. Anyway, let me continue on with... I just want to talk about Launch Complex 40. Launch Complex 40 is down in Florida. SpaceX has been using that for many years. And anytime they launch a Falcon 9 out of that one, they have cargo vehicles going out. And that's been standard operating procedure for a long time. Early on, many years ago, they did have a launch out of it. The whole rocket blew up, destroyed the launch pad. It took a couple of years to rebuild it. But they've been using it ever since. But in the last couple of years, they've been getting it ready for the ability to launch crew from the from Launch Complex 40. So they built a crew tower, and they built a crew access arm that swings out next to the rocket to let the crew in and out. And that's all being completed, and it looks like, I think in a couple of, maybe 6 months or so, at least a year, no more than a year, rather, this thing will be ready. And then they'll have... SpaceX will have two launch complexes that will be able to launch crews out of Florida, and that's not all. You're going to have two other crew launch facilities. One will be SpaceX. One will be Space Launch System, which will have a crew access arm and their own launch pad at Launch Complex 39B. The one that's going up now is 39A. So 39B, you'll have the other one, which will eventually launch crews of four to the moon. And that'll be the Orion spacecraft, space launch system by NASA. Then there's another launch complex 41 that Boeing uses on a regular basis. They fly their Atlas V's out of there, and also now the Vulcan rockets. And they have a crew access ready, and that's been ready for years now. And they will be able to put a crew on the Starliner flight. The first Starliner flight that will be going up will be in April, hopefully. Hopefully April, and you have just a crew of two right now to test it out. That's by Boeing on Starliner, and once that's docked with the space station, return safely. That'll improve rotation. You'll eventually have Starliner going up with four people, and then, you know, for 6 months, and then after that you'll have Dragon going up. So we'll give SpaceX a break. Instead of doing it twice a year, they'll be doing it once a year. I thought that was pretty interesting. And Charlie can tell you, you got probably two or 3 minutes left before we got here. Yeah, 3 minutes and 20 seconds before we got a launch out of Florida. This is WS2N for the SpaceX.
Paul?
Yes, go ahead.
I'm watching it live. I'm all excited. I got it on my computer.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, anytime they go up, if I'm busy here, I put it on my tablet, you know. I got a computer on one side, tablet on the other, you know. I think the only one that's got me beat with screens is Dr. Roy. This is like mission control over there. So, yeah. Can't have enough computers and screens. Another thing I wanted to talk about was the LN-1 experiment that was on that lunar flight. They call it Lunar Node 1, was what it was called. And it was attached to the side of this intuitive machine spacecraft that went to the moon. And on the way there, it would operate intermittently. They would turn it on, turn it off. And eventually when it landed on the moon, they turned it on, turned it off. But it turned out to be a valuable piece of information because the company was having trouble with exact locations where it is in space or here and there. And this was a test by NASA to duplicate an exact location of a spacecraft in space without a GPS system. Yeah, what they did is LN-1 or Lunar Node 1 gadget transmitted on the S-band, and they had on it an atomic clock. So the atomic clock was perfectly matched with an atomic clock on Earth before it left. So when it was out in space, it didn't matter where they were, it would send signals back to Earth, and we received it here. They could tell exactly how far that thing was away, and the speed of it, because of the Doppler effect as it was drifting away. So that was a very successful flight. They plan on using this quite a bit. It's, you know, officially right now on the moon, but you can imagine a series of these things on the moon and other spacecraft coming in the future, using it as a reference point, you know, receiving signals from these atomic clock transmitting S-band gadgets, and every orbiting vehicle coming in, especially coming in for a landing, will have perfect information about where they're located in space, how fast they're going, and all of that. So it's a real step in the right direction. The goal is to eventually occupy the moon, eventually set up a base of some sort. By the way, this launch has to go up exactly on the second to meet the International Space Station. Right now, the space station is right above the them in Florida. So that's why the timing has to be just right, the inclination. The space station is flying at 51.6 degrees inclination. And this thing has got off the launch pad. That's good. I'm sure Charlie's happy about that, and anybody else that's watching this at this moment. It's pretty cool. I don't get tired of it. This is, they've gone through a couple hundred flights over the years. I think they're past 300 flights with the Falcon 9 rocket. So they're really into mass production, that's for sure. Any comments? WS1.
Are they on schedule? Because I haven't seen this rocket take off yet.
They're up and going. They're gone. Did your computer lock up? They're up there. Let's see. If I get telemetry. What do we see here? Yeah, we're up to 1,500 kilometers. They're moving. First stage is firing, and they're going strong, Charlie.
I thought they were still sitting on the ground, because that's what my screen is telling me.
Hope you're not looking at an old flight. Try NASA.gov. That's why I'm using NASA.gov. Maybe SpaceX is locked up or something. I use both of them, but if I have a choice, I would go to the NASA site. Anyway, they're doing well. Hopefully they're going to be very happy. There's three people have done flown before. The commander's flown two times before. So we'll see how they do. Any comments? We're talking about the moon. Slim spacecraft got launched by Japan. That's sitting on the moon. Didn't make it through tonight, so that gives hope for two of the machines. The Japanese one landed there about a month and a half ago. And they were wondering if it was going to make it through tonight. And sure enough, it did make it through tonight. So they're happy about that. But the sun is so bright, it's actually too hot. They're worried that it's going to heat up the electronics. They overheated, so they shut it down waiting for the sun to get at a different angle, and then they'll turn swim back on again. And the second stage has separated. The first stage is now on the way back to landing zone 1, Florida. Let's go play by play here. This is WS. I just go back into space history a little bit. 20 years ago, Rosetta was launched from European Space Agency, French Guiana, Kourou, in South America. And that was an unmanned vehicle, and the goal was to go out to a comet, and it took 10 years to get there. And sure enough, 10 years later, they caught up with the 67P.
That's another name.
It's a long name they can't pronounce. But the 67P /CG was the comet. And they successfully got there, and they wound up orbiting that for probably 6 months to a year. The Rosetta mission. That was pretty interesting. We followed that here on the net. I remember talking about that way back when, before we had anybody keeping our recordings of the net. 2004 was when the thing launched. Ten years later, they orbited, and eventually they had a lander called Philippe that separated from the mothership. Went down and landed on the comet. It successfully got some telemetry back there, some problems with it, but they got some brief information from the lander. It didn't go as well as they planned. It wound up kind of like in the sun, where the sun was shaded too much. Eventually, they were able to get more telemetry out of that lander. But that was some mission. Not only NASA that does these outrageous missions, because different planets, these space missions, but European Space Agency is heavily involved with these things as well. So, there you go. Let me see if there's any comments.
I'm Charlie, and no comments.
You're unable to get it on your computer, Charlie, unfortunately, is that right?
I just got the picture of the launch. That was it. I'm not able to watch it, the whole thing go through.
you know, from launch to leaving the atmosphere. No, that I can't get.
Are you on NASA? Are you on NASA.com? .gov? NASA.gov. Click on that, and there's a thing that says, talks about this mission, and then it says watch, you know, crew 8 mission. That's the best one. Now they got the booster cup on the back, and it's going to come in for a landing.
Nope, I'm not getting it. All right.
Go to NASA.gov, you don't get something that comes up that says crew 8 SpaceX mission.
Yes, I do, but it's not showing me the liftoff.
Right, because then you have to click watch, and then you know, thing comes up, looks like a YouTube, it's got an arrow, and then you click on that as well, right, and then it should come up live.
Maybe I'm doing something wrong.
Well, yeah. They're doing good. You know, I can tell you that. They're waiting for engine cutoff. You know, they're talking now. So, I don't know, Charlie. You got to work next time. there's a lot of flights going up. Any manned mission, NASA will have it on. Any unmanned mission, and there's literally going to be around 140 of them by SpaceX this year. They put it on their website as well, but that's SpaceX.com. Click on that. And it usually comes on maybe 15 minutes or a half hour before launch. So I have to practice with that. And the next crew mission that will be going up, I will be in April, and that will be the Starliner mission by Boeing, brand new spacecraft going up to the International Space Station. That's the one I said will go up with the crew of two, and they're going to see if they can commission it, and if it passes all its tests, eventually they will be sending the crew of four up on a regular basis. And I'm looking at the clock, and we're getting a little late, so a couple other topics we could always do that next week. No problem. We drop it.
All right, this is KE2AJU saying I'll see you next Sunday.
Fine business, Charlie. And what you can do is you go to SpaceX after this, SpaceX site, and they do have replays, maybe, an hour or so later, or definitely tomorrow. And you can bring up SpaceX.com, and you can see it. So they'll have pictures of a rocket, and you scroll up and down, and you can pick whichever rocket you want. Usually the first one on the top is the latest one that they did, and there's dozens of rockets that that they still have on file. SpaceX.com, you get to see this launch too. It's all recorded. Okay, with that we're gonna. We'll turn this back to Roy. We'll be on tomorrow night on the Club InfoNet on these frequencies. It's always interesting. We'll have George, KD2FIU, does the swap and chop afterwards. And that's followed by amateur radio news volume, which I plan on listening to, and hopefully they give me frequencies and some kind of story behind these two amateur satellites that are supposed to be launched from California. Anyway, over to you, Roy, AC2GS. This is WS2N for the Space Net Report. And go Falcon 9, go crew. There's four people. That's quite a ride when they do that. 8 minutes to orbit, and then they're going to spend another 5 to 6 months up there. Back to you, Roy.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you for all that you do for the Space Net Report, that you do for the Technical Net. You do for the club. We all appreciate it. I especially appreciate it. Thank you. Our revels now are done, gentlemen and gentle ladies, hopefully listening but not transmitting much on the technical net. As I often do, I'll remind you that Dick K2RIW, who who ran this place for 40-plus years, used to end it with a request to everyone to be kind to each other. That's very good advice in general, and especially now we live in divided times, problematic times, so please try and be kind to each other. And I'd like to repeat Epictetus, it's impossible for a man to learn what he thinks he already knows, so please try and keep your mind open to new things. You know, learn something new every day. If you don't use your brain, you'll lose your brain. So once again, thanks to everyone who came tonight. I hope you will join us again next Sunday night at 8 p.m. when we will try and do this all over again. Stay safe, be well, stay warm, stay dry, although it's not that difficult to stay warm these days. It's 54 degrees outside. So I will formally end this episode of the Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club's Technical Net with the usual phrase, Slava Ukraine.
I got the watch. I got it.
I did. Congratulations,
thank you, Roy.
Charlie. You gotta save that website. This way, next time you go, next time it goes up, you'll have it again.
All right, thank you.
Have a good night, Charlie. WS2N2.
WS2N2.
Okay, I missed the call, but yeah, go ahead. Still here.
Jeff, Alpha Charlie 2, Papa Lima. We were flying on Saturday along the coast of the east coast of Florida, and the pilot said, oh yeah, there's going to be a launch, there's going to be a launch. And so I kind of bullied my way into the back by the little window, and I kept looking, but I couldn't see anything. So it was like, I don't know, he's like, at the top of the hour, the top of the hour. I don't know what you're supposed to be able to see when you're about 30 miles or 40 miles off and a mile up, but I was hoping to see like a vapor trail, but I really didn't catch anything.
Okay, and which day was that? Was it yesterday or the day before? Which day was it?
Negative. It was last Saturday. The 24th? 24th, I think we're coming back. There's supposed to be a launch.
Yeah, I'm trying to think which one that was. But this one was delayed the last 2 days, yesterday and the previous day. Now they finally got it off the ground. Last week, that probably was another Starlink launch. And, most of the Starlinks go, somewhat in easterly direction. But there have been some that, they'll actually send it south. I'm not sure which direction these people were going last week. But a mile high, 30 miles out, you'd have to be, I'm sure you would be able to see something. I'm sure you would, if it's coming your direction, like if you're out east. But I don't know. And that would be a great way to see it. I know if you're in a direct area, they would have directed you to not be there. They have to make sure there's no planes or boats down below, usually when they do launches.
Casey 2PL, yeah, we were en route from the islands up to up the East Coast, back to New York, and they fly like probably, I would say, that distance off the coast. I went back there and looked at, and the flight attendant was not really impressed with with my presence there, so I asked him two or three times, and then he told me to sit down. I really wanted the picture to send to you and Roy. I was dying to have that picture. It was definitely a SpaceX thing, right? Anyway, thank you so much for what you guys do. This is AC2PL, 73 for now. Good night, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, very good. Yeah, and that would have been a great picture, but if from the sky. But I don't know. No, there were no other launches. It would have been SpaceX, last Boeing launch. was that Vulcan rocket they launched for the first time. That was one month and a half ago. So it would have had to been SpaceX, probably launched up 40. If it was the week before, a couple of weeks before, it would have been the lunar launch. And launch that from Launch Complex 39A. That was the one that took Intuitive Machines to the moon. Well, okay, very good. Better luck next time. Yeah, terrific. You know, we don't get a chance to see launches up in New York. Although when the space shuttle went up, sometimes they go up on a 63-degree inclination. And if you go out and it was like dusk, you know, you would be able to see the engines, the actual engines, see a light going by. That was pretty cool. That's about the best I've ever done. 73, AC2PL, WS2N.
WS2N, KCPL,
AC2SHL. Yeah, hope you weren't trying to get in. I'm guilty of not unkeying. Back to you, John.
I did. I was a little late to key anyway, but I did try to get in once just to say thanks for the update. I haven't been following the news lately. I was able to come up here and watch the launch. Enough time, you know, maybe 30 seconds. I came up here. Mother was left on the clock, so I got to watch the launch. Thanks to your notification there. Anyway, thanks again for hear you guys, and hopefully be hearing you more often now we have some new hardware here.
Okay, we're good. Yeah, yeah. Not too often we get to do a live launch on the 10 net. A couple of times it's been like right after the net, you know, like 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning, something like that. When the Vulcan launch went off, the first Vulcan rocket launch from Launch Complex 40 by Boeing and Lockheed. On the United Launch Alliance flight, that was the first Vulcan flight. That was like, I don't know, 1:30 in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, something like that. And I said, you know, I'm not going to make it, you know, but it was the first flight of that rocket, and sure enough, I was glad I made it. And that was a tough one. I wish that was a couple of hours earlier. But that turned out to be a 100% success for that particular rocket, which is very, very good. It's going to give SpaceX some big time competition. So 73, John. Have a good night there. A couple of hours difference. We're over here. 11:17. Have a good night. WS2 and clear.
You're a real good fellow. And thanks again. Catch you maybe next week. Again, KC2, that's 73.
73, yeah, John.
W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater.